Let us begin. Good morning, everybody. As most of you know, my name is David Goodson. I'm the Senior Vice President of the Institute, and I have pleasure today in welcoming you to Valuing ESOs Using the Exercise Multiple Approach and Binary P Options. And I know there are some people in the room who have certainly a business and professional interest in this. It's being presented by Tim King. Tim is a lecturer in actuarial studies at Macquarie University. He's been there for about 11 years. His research focuses on the modelling and analysis of options and derivative securities and actuarial education. Tim's been the chief examiner in finance, and prior to working at Macquarie, he's been in financial services industries, in insurance banking and consulting capacities. So he's one of those more valuable of academics, somebody who knows how the real world works. So just before passing over to Tim, I'm expecting a lively discussion from the audience here today. So after Tim has presented, I dare say if you have any questions along the way, feel free to chip in. And we shall have a discussion. As always, the Institute would really appreciate you filling in the feedback forms and putting them in the boxes around. So with no further ado, we'll pass over to Tim.
Okay. Thanks, David. Good morning, everybody. So my talk today is about valuing ESOs using the exercise multiple approach, which was proposed by John Hull in a paper in 2004, and the use of what I call binary P options in valuing those. So we're going to propose an analytic formula for valuing employee share options using this approach as suggested by Hull. And his approach is about a way of modelling the early exercise behaviour of holders of ESOs. ESOs typically have a vesting date, various vesting conditions, also called hurdles, and a period called the exercise window during which they can be exercised. Using the exercise multiple approach, it's assumed that the option gets exercised early, as soon as the stock price reaches a certain multiple of the exercise price. And we can show that under this approach that the ESO can be broken down into a combination of non-standard barrier options. So we also show the ESO can be expressed as a combination of what are called binary power options using a technique known as the method of images. The binary power option is a building block for the valuation of the ESO, and we present valuation formulae for various different types of binary power options. The method of images is a general technique that can be used for valuing a wide class of barrier type options. So we'll discuss the method of images for barrier options and show that it can be used to provide valuation formulae for both standard and non-standard barrier options, and we'll look at the relationship of these to ESO valuation. So some ESOs may have barrier features. So as mentioned previously, the Hull-wide approach to modelling early exercise behaviour of executives with ESOs amounts to assuming the ESO is a type of barrier option, a complicated type. The hurdles that must be satisfied in order for an option to vest could be defined or measured at a single point in time, such as the vesting date, or possibly over an interval of time instead of at a single point. If measured over a time interval instead of a single point, that would make the ESO into a barrier-type option. Another type of ESO with barrier-type features is the repriceable ESO, studied by an academic called Brenner in 2000. That's a type of ESO where, if the stock price drops below some predetermined level before the vesting date, the terms of the ESO can be altered so as to increase the value of the ESO. Either the strike price or the maturity of the ESO, or both, can be changed in a predetermined way. That would make the ESO into a type of barrier option. The original ESO is said to be knocked out, and the new version of the ESO is said to be knocked in when the barrier gets breached prior to the maturity date. So next I'm going to cover various valuation building blocks, and the first one we'll look at is the European power option. This is a contract that pays, at the maturity date, a power n of the stock price. So the payoff is fx equals x to the power n. We can provide a valuation formula for this in the Black-Scholes option pricing framework, the value of the contract at time little t prior to maturity. We can express it as a discounted expectation, e to the minus rt times the expectation of the payoff, conditional on the current value of the stock price. And that's a function x to the power n times e to the power gamma n times tau. Gamma n is a quadratic equation in n. It's a half sigma squared n squared plus r minus q minus a half sigma squared times n minus r. And tau represents the time remaining to the maturity date. We can also define the up binary and down binary versions of this contract. So the binary power contract with power n and with exercise price k and sine s has the payoff defined by xt to the power n, it's the stock price to the power n, stock price at maturity, multiplied by an indicator function of the set s times xt is bigger than s times k. S can take the value plus 1 or minus 1, and that controls the direction of the inequality. So if s is plus 1, it's xt is bigger than k, and if s is minus 1, it's xt is less than k. So the up binary contract has the inequality in the positive direction, and the down binary contract has the inequality in the negative direction. And we can provide valuation formulae for these contracts. For s equals plus 1 or minus 1, at time t, the valuation formula is Vn s of xt is x to the power n times e to the power gamma n times tau times n of s of d2 plus n sigma root tau. Now d2 is the d2 from the Black-Scholes formula, plain vanilla call option. And we can also show that if we add up the up binary contract and the down binary contract, we get the power option contract. We can define the bund binary contract. That's a payoff of $1, provided that Sx is bigger than Sk. So that defines both an up and a down type of bund binary contract. And the valuation formula for it, we denote it by B subscript K superscript S of X and T. It's the discount factor e to the minus RT times N of S times D2, where big N is the CDF of the univariate normal distribution. We can think of this as being a power binary contract with the power n equals zero. It's also known as the cash or nothing binary option. Another one is the asset binary option. This also has maturity T, and at maturity it pays you one unit of the stock, X, provided that SX is bigger than SK and nothing otherwise. So that again defines both an up and a down version of the asset binary contract. We can write a valuation formula for it, and we denote it by A subscript K superscript S of X and T. It's X multiplied by the discount factor e to the minus Q tor times N of SD1, Q here being the dividend yield on the underlying asset. And we can think of this one as being a power binary with the power N equals 1, also called an asset or nothing binary. Now, it could be useful later to consider the quadratic equation that we looked at earlier. This quadratic equation actually has two different roots, beta 1 and beta 2. The first root is positive and the second root is negative. And it turns out that this equation and the roots of it are useful in defining certain types of other power options with power beta 1 or beta 2, as we'll see later. It turns out that the sum of the two solutions is minus alpha, where alpha is 2 times r minus q and sigma squared minus 1. And if we've got a power option contract with power beta, for beta equals beta 1 or beta 2, then when we work out the value of the up or down binary contracts with that power, it's of the form x to the beta times n of s d2 plus beta sigma root tau. And there's no gamma, there's no e to the gamma tau term there, because gamma of beta would be equal to 0, and hence e to the gamma n tau would be equal to 1. Next we'll look at the call, put and gap options. The European call option has payoff xt minus k, or 0, whichever is bigger, and we write that as xt minus k plus. And we can also write that as the difference xt minus k times the indicator function of the set xt is bigger than k. So this gives the holder the right but not the obligation to buy the stock at the maturity date for a price X. Sorry, that should be a price K. That's a typographical error there. That'll be worth doing if and only if XT is bigger than K. K here is the exercise price, which defines the level of the stock at which exercise occurs. Now, for a call option, the exercise price and the strike price are the same. The strike price is the amount of money you have to pay to buy the stock. The exercise price is the price level at which exercise occurs. It's often convenient to distinguish between the two. Another type of option is a gap call option that has payoff XT minus K times the indicator function XT is bigger than E. So here the exercise price E and the strike price K will be different. Now we can provide formulae for valuing each of these contracts. For a gap call option, we can write it as a combination of a asset or nothing option and a cash or nothing option. It'll be AE plus XT minus KBE plus XT. For a European call, it's AK plus XT minus KBK plus XT. And for a put, it's KBK minus XT minus AK minus XT. So we can write it in terms of those bond and asset binaries or power options. Another type of option we can define is a first-order Q binary option. This has a payoff equal to S times the expression XT minus K times the indicator function of SXT is bigger than SE. And we can write a valuation formula for it in terms of the bond and asset binaries. It's S times the asset binary minus K times the bond binary, both with sine S. And that's a generalization of the gap option. We can also consider dual expiry options. These are defined over a single asset, and they mature at time T2, but the payoff at maturity depends on the price at an earlier time T1. And there's an asset and a bond binary version of each of these. So the second order asset binary has a payoff XT2, the stock price at time T2, times the indicator function S2XT2 is bigger than S2E2, times the indicator function S1X1 is bigger than S1E1. Likewise, the second order bond binary has a payoff which is just the product of the two indicator functions. So there are two exercise dates, or dates at which the stock price is observed, and two exercise prices. And we can provide valuation formulae for each of these contracts at a time little t prior to both T1 and T2. And we express the value in terms of the cumulative density function of the bivariate normal. So the dual expiry asset option has the form x e to the minus q times tor 2 times n2, which is the bivariate normal CDF, evaluated at s1 times d1 dashed and s2 times d2 dashed and s1 s2 times rho. And the dual expiry bond option has the form e to the minus r tor 2 times the n2 function evaluated at s1 d1 and s2 d2 and s1 s2 times rho. Rho here is the square root of tor 1 over tor 2, where tor 2 is t2 minus t and tor 1 is t1 minus t. And the DIs are like the DIs from the Black-Scholes formula, and I've shown the formula here. The n2 function is the CDF, or the probability that z1 is less than x and that z2 is less than y, given that both z1 and z2 have the standard normal distribution and that they have correlation rho. We can also define dual expiry power options. The payoff is x2 to the power n times the product of those two indicator functions. Xi is the same as xti, the stock price at time ti, and little t lies between 0 and t1, and t2 is bigger than t1. Si will be the sign of the inequality in the indicator function for time I, and ei will be some positive constant representing the exercise prices at those two different times. Now, this will be useful later when we look at valuing ESOs. So we can denote the value of this by P K1, K2, S1, S2 of X, T, N, T1, and T2. And we can write the value as a discounted expectation. And we can provide a valuation formula for it It turns out its value will be x to the power n times e to the power gamma n times tor 2 times the n2 function evaluated at s1 times d1 plus n sigma root tor 1, s2 times d2 plus n sigma root tor 2, and s1 times s2 times rho. Next, we'll move on to look at valuation methods, in particular the partial differential equation approach and the discounted expectation approach. These are the two major approaches used to derive analytic formulae for valuing options. Now, for barrier type options, the PDE approach often works better and is easier to apply than the discounted expectations approach. So we'll now consider the Black-Scholes partial differential equation. It was shown by Black and Scholes back in 1973 that the economic value, which we denote by VXT, of an option defined over a stock X as at time T satisfies this partial differential equation shown here. It's dV dt plus a half sigma squared x squared dTV dx squared plus r minus q x dV dx minus rv equals zero. And it's convenient to write that as an operator, L of v equals zero. The valuation function or formula for our option contract must be a solution of this PDE, and it must also satisfy some conditions called boundary conditions, which describe the behaviour of the function at maturity and possibly at other times. So, for example, for a call, at maturity the value should be x minus k plus, the greater of x minus k and 0. If the stock price goes to 0 before maturity, then the call should go to 0. And prior to maturity, if the stock price gets very big, it becomes like a forward contract. That's what those boundary conditions there say. The Black-Scholes option pricing formula leads to this particular solution shown here on slide 20 for the call option. It's x e to the minus qt n d1 minus k e to the minus rt n d2, where the d1 and d2 are defined as shown here on slide 20. Now, the stock price at any particular time has a log normal distribution, and we can say that xt is equal in distribution to x0 times e to the r minus q minus a half sigma squared t plus sigma root t by z, where z has the standard normal distribution. And under this distribution, xt is bigger than k is equivalent to z being bigger than the expression shown here, which is equal to minus d2, where d2 is the d2 from the Black-Scholes formula. We can write an expression for the expectation of the payoff under this distribution. And if you then multiply that expectation expression by the discount factor, you get the Black-Scholes formula, the same as the one given by solving the PDE. So it can be shown that the expectations approach and the PDE approach both lead to the same valuation formula. So next we'll look at barrier options. These are a type of path-dependent option, and the payoff at maturity depends on whether or not the asset price path crosses a certain level prior to maturity, known as the barrier level. There's two main types of barrier contracts. There's the knockout option. This expires worth zero if the stock price crosses the barrier level prior to maturity. Otherwise, it gives you the payoff on some standard option contract at maturity. Then there's the knock-in version, where the option expires worthless unless the stock price crosses that barrier prior to maturity. If it does cross the barrier, then the option payoff will be that of a standard contract. It could be a call, it could be a put, or it could be something else. In this case, the option is said to be knocked in. So there's four different types of barriers. There's the down and out type, the down and in type, the up and out type, and the up and in type. The standard contract that defines the payoff could be a call or a put. That gives you a total of eight different combinations of barrier option types, the so-called classical barrier options. But the standard contract could be something else than a call or a put. It could be something more complicated. So we can extend the idea of a barrier option in various ways by having standard option payoffs that differ from European calls and puts. We could, for example, have a barrier option defined over another barrier option, which would be a sequential or compound barrier option. So the standard payoff, we'll denote that by Vs of xt and t, and that's some function f of xt. So, for example, for the call option, it's xt minus k times the indicator function xt is bigger than k. So we denote the standard option payoff by V subscript s, and we can define the up and down binary payoffs for barrier B denoted by VBS of x and t. That'll be the payoff function fx times the indicator function sx is bigger than sb for s equals plus 1 or minus 1. So the value of the standard payoff will be the discount factor times the expectation of the standard option payoff, conditional on the current stock price. We define m little t and m big t to be the minimum and the maximum of the stock price over the time interval from time naught to time t. A down-and-out barrier option is defined relative to some barrier level B, and it'll have the payoff V subscript DO of x and t is fxt times the indicator function of little mt is bigger than B, provided that at time zero, x naught is bigger than B. If that weren't the case, the contract will already have been knocked out and it'll have value zero. A down-and-in barrier option has a payoff at maturity t defined as fxt times the indicator function mt is less than b, and that's provided that at time zero x naught is bigger than b. Otherwise, the contract would already be the standard contract. It would already be knocked in. Likewise, we can define the up and in barrier and the down and the up and out barrier. The up and in barrier option has payoff fxt times the indicator function big M of t is bigger than b, provided that at time zero x naught is less than b. Otherwise, it would have the same value as the standard contract. And then there's the up-and-out barrier, which has payoff fxt times the indicator function big M is less than b. So, for example, the down-and-out call option with an exercise price of k and barrier b would have a payoff xt minus k times the indicator function xt is bigger than k times the indicator function little m is bigger than b. And you can break that up into a combination of two terms, xt times the two indicator functions minus k times the two indicator functions. So next we'll look at barrier option PDEs. The down and out barrier option, which we denote by VDO, will pay fx at maturity, provided it's knocked out prior to the maturity date, by the stock price dropping below the level B. Now VDO will satisfy a partial differential equation combined with a couple of boundary conditions. That's what PDE slash BVP means. So the differential equation is L of VDO equals zero, where L is the Black-Scholes partial differential operator. And that's defined on the domain X is bigger than B and less than big T. Sorry, X is bigger than B. We also have VDO evaluated at stock price B at time t will equal to zero. That's the knockout condition. And at maturity, the payoff is fx. The other types of barrier options will satisfy the same PDE but with different boundary conditions. So here we look at the down and in barrier option. That'll expire with nothing unless the barrier level is reached sometime before the option expires. So it'll satisfy the PDE L of VDI equals zero. On the domain, X is bigger than B and T is bounded below by zero and above by big T. And then it'll satisfy the boundary conditions VDI X at time big T equals zero and VDI B comma T equals VS BT. So it takes the value of the standard option if the barrier is breached. The other two barrier options also satisfy the same PDE but with different boundary conditions. So next we'll look at the method of images for pricing barriers. And this is a very useful technique discovered by a mathematician called Buchan in 2001. Buchan is from Sydney Uni. Now, it turns out, given any solution V of the Black-Scholes PDE, we can define a thing called the image with respect to the barrier B, and it's defined as V star of X and T is B on X to the power alpha times V evaluated at price B squared on X at time T, where alpha is 2R minus Q on sigma squared minus 1, and alpha is the sum of the two roots of that quadratic equation I showed you earlier. Sometimes it's more convenient to use the notation IB of FX for this. Next we have the method of images. Given any payoff function FX, it doesn't matter whether it's a call or a put or something more complicated, the solution to the down and out barrier call option problem is given by The value of the down and out option is VB minus the image of VB. VB here is the solution of another partial differential equation type problem. It satisfies the Black-Scholes PDE, L of VB equals 0. On the domain D, here the domain is x bigger than 0, and t lies between 0 and big T. And the payoff at maturity is fx times the indicator function x is more than b. Looking at the PDE for VB, it's got a simpler domain and a simpler boundary condition, and it's usually easier to solve, and it will usually turn out to be a European-type option and have a nice evaluation formula. Next, we have various symmetry relations. Now, for any given payoff function fx, no matter what it is, it turns out that all of the four related barrier option prices can be obtained from the price of the down-and-out option and also from the price of the standard option. So we can write the formula for the down-and-out option. It's VB plus minus the image of VB plus. And the down-and-in option can be written as the value of the standard option minus the value of the down-and-out option. The up-and-in option can be written as the image of the standard option plus VB minus the image of VB. And the up-and-out option can be written as the standard option minus the image of the standard option minus VB plus minus the image of VB plus. So if you can figure out a valuation formula for the down and out, you can then get valuation formulae for all the other things. So these results allow us to express the price of any of the four types of the barrier options in terms of the function VBS and the standard option value VS. And that's true for any payoff function FX. So for example, if we look at the down and out call, the standard contract has the payoff X minus K times the indicator function X is more than K. The up binary version of the contract would be payoff x minus k times the indicator function x is bigger than k times the indicator function x is bigger than b. And we could write that as x minus k times the indicator function of x is bigger than m, where m is the larger of k and b. And we recognize this as the payoff from a gap call option, which we know how to value. So the value of the up binary contract is expressed in terms of asset and bond binary options. It's AM plus minus KBM plus. The value of the standard contract would be AK plus minus KBK plus. So the value of the down and out barrier option would be VB plus minus the image of VB plus. And we can write that as VB plus minus B over X to the power alpha times VB plus evaluated at a different stop price, B squared on X. So if we've got a valuation formula for VB plus, then we can easily work out a valuation formula for the down and out option that goes with that one. So next we'll present some results about images of some of the building block valuation formulae we looked at earlier. So given any solution V of the Black-Scholes PDE, the image solution with respect to the barrier B has various useful properties. One of these is that the image of V is V. So the image with respect to B of the image with respect to V, B of the function V, will be the original function. Or mathematicians call it an involution, I think. Also, it turns out that if V is a solution of the PDE, then the image of V will be a solution of the PDE as well. Also, it turns out that V and V star coincide when X equals B. And the image operator is a linear operator. The image of lambda times V plus mu times U is lambda times the image of V plus mu times the image of U. And if you take the image of fx times the indicator function x is more than a, that's the image of fx times the indicator function x is less than b squared on a. Now, if we look at the power option contract again, we can denote the value by pxtn. It's x to the n times e to the gamma n of tau. If you take the image of that, it turns out to have the value b to the power alpha plus 2n, x to the power minus n of n plus alpha, times e to the gamma of minus n plus alpha times tau, which can be shown to be equal to b to the power alpha plus 2n times the power option contract with power minus n plus alpha. So it's a multiple of another power option with a different power. If we look at the binary power option contract, I showed you the payoff on that before. It's x to the n times the indicator function sx is bigger than sk. And the value of the contract is x to the n e to the gamma n tor times n of s of d plus n sigma root tor. If we take the image of that, it'll be b to the power 2n plus alpha times the power option contract with an exercise price of b squared on k and with opposite sign of minus s, and a power of minus n plus alpha. So the image will be a multiple of another power binary option with a different sign, a different power, and a different exercise price. So we'll look at a few special cases. When n equals 0, we have the bond binary contract, also known as the cash or nothing option, and the image of that is b to the power alpha, x to the minus alpha, e to the minus r tor times n of minus s d2 minus alpha sigma root tor. When n is 1, we get the asset binary contract, and if you take the image of the valuation function, it's b to the alpha plus 2, e to the minus q tor, x to the power minus alpha plus 1, times n of minus d2, evaluated at x, and b squared on k, minus 1 plus alpha, sigma root tor. And if you let the power be beta 1, the positive root of the quadratic equation I showed you earlier, the value of the contract will be x to the power beta 1 times n evaluated at s of d2 plus beta 1 sigma root tor. The image will be b to the power beta 1 minus beta 2 times x to the power beta 2 times n of minus s times d2 evaluated at x and b squared on k plus beta 2 sigma root tor. Now, this will be b to the power beta 1 minus beta 2 units of a power option with a different power beta 2 being the other root of the quadratic equation, and with exercise price b squared on k and sine minus s. Next we'll look at dual expiry power options. And I showed you the valuation formula before. When we take the image of that, we find that the image is b to the power 2n plus alpha times a new dual expiry power option with different exercise prices and different signs and a different power. So the exercise price k1 becomes b squared on k1. The exercise price k2 becomes b squared on k2. The two signs get swapped over. They become minus what they previously were. And the power becomes minus n plus alpha. Next we'll look at formulae for the four barrier call options. So applying the Buchan method of images approach, the value of the down and out is VB minus the image of VB. And we can write that in terms of power options as PM plus with parameters X, T and 1 minus K times PM plus with parameters X, T and 0 minus B to the power 2 plus alpha times the power option with sine of minus 1, exercise price of B squared on M and parameters X, T and minus alpha plus 1. And then plus k times b to the alpha times the power option with sine of minus 1, exercise price of b squared on m, and parameters x, t, and minus alpha. Likewise, we can write formulae for the down and in call, the up and in call, and the up and out call in terms of these power options. Okay, now we'll move on to look at some more building blocks. Sorry, there's lots of building blocks here, but it's a complicated problem. Some barrier option contracts pay what's called a rebate to the holder of the option if the contract gets knocked out. So the rebate will be a fixed amount of money, R, paid at the time when the option gets knocked out. Now these rebates could be the structure, part of the structure of some ESOs, for example a cash bonus paid if and when the stock price reaches some specified level. Now it turns out we can think of the rebate as a down and in, or possibly an up and in barrier power option with the power beta 1 being the positive root of the quadratic equation, and with exercise price B. So if the standard option has payoff R times X over B to the power beta 1 for a power option with power beta 1, then the value of the standard contract at time t is just r times x over b to the power beta 1. Now we're going to look at the up and in barrier version of the contract, with the barrier at b. The up and in version of the option with barrier b pays a fixed amount r if and when the stock price crosses the barrier from below prior to maturity. And using the method of images, we can write a valuation formula for it. The value of the up and in is the image of VB minus plus VB plus, both evaluated at x and t. So we can write a formula for the contract, and I show the formula here. It's r over b to the power beta 1 times x to the power beta 1 times n evaluated at d2, x comma k, plus beta 1 sigma root tau, plus r on b to the beta 1 times b to the beta 1 minus beta 2, x to the beta 2 times n, evaluated n of d2, evaluated at x and b squared on k, plus beta 2 sigma root tau. We can also define what are called partial time barrier options. So we'll look at the partial time up and in barrier power option. This is a barrier where the barrier option where the barrier monitoring window is a subset of the lifetime of the option. So let's suppose you've got a situation where at time t1, you've got the right to receive an up and in barrier power option that matures at time t2 with barrier B, provided that the stock price at time t1 is below the level B. So the barrier is monitored over the time window t1 to t2 and not over any times prior to that. Let's suppose we wanted to work out the value of that right at a time little t before time t1. We can write the value of the contract as a discounted expectation. And we can also write a valuation formula for it in terms of the dual expiry power option. Now, it turns out to have value given by the formula PB, B with signs minus 1 and plus 1 evaluated at x, t, n, t1 and t2 plus the image of PB, B with signs plus 1 and minus 1 evaluated at the same parameters. And just to remind you, the valuation formula for the power option is given here. It's x to the n, e to the gamma n, tau 2 times n2, evaluated at these various parameters shown here on slide number 49. We can also define a partial time up and out barrier call option. So at time t1, the option gives us the right to receive an up and out barrier call with maturity T2 and barrier B and exercise price K, provided that the stock price at time T1 is below B. Here the barrier is monitored over the time window from T1 to T2, and we want to value it at time little t before time T1. We can write a formula for the value of the contract as a discounted expectation, and it can be shown that it can be written in terms of dual expiry power options and their images in the following way, as shown here on slide 51. So it's a complicated formula with lots of terms. There's eight terms there, including four image terms. Each of those terms involves the bivariate normal distribution. Okay, so that's the building blocks. Now we'll get on to valuing ESOs using the exercise multiple approach. So according to Hull and White's paper from 2004, they claim that various empirical studies show that ESOs are exercised early, as soon as the stock price reaches some multiple of the exercise price, or exercised at maturity later if that multiple is never reached. So, for example, the multiple could be 120% of the exercise price. And their paper proposed a numerical valuation method using the binomial approach, valuing the ESO, using this assumption about early exercise behaviour. So we can show how we can value this analytically instead of using a binomial approach. So to motivate the discussion, we'll consider an example. We've got a hypothetical ESO that has a vesting period of 2 years, a term of 5 years, an initial stock price of 10, an exercise price equal to the initial stock price, so it's an at-the-money option at the start, and the option can't be exercised during the vesting period. After the end of the vesting period, the option can be exercised early. If exercised at time t, where t is between time t1 and t2, the payoff will be a standard call option payoff, the max of xt minus k or 0. The time interval t1 to t2 is the early exercise window. Now, we allow for early exercise by assuming that the option gets exercised as soon as it reaches a specified level. And this is effectively the barrier for an up-and-in type barrier option. But it turns out that it's a partial time barrier option because it can't be exercised until the vesting period's over. So let's have a look at this diagram here, which shows a simulated stock price. The first horizontal line is the exercise price of 10, and the next one is the assumed level at which it'll be exercised early, the barrier level, which is 12. So the option can be exercised between times 2 and 5. Initial stop price is 10, which is the same as the exercise price. And we'll assume the option gets exercised as soon as the stop price reaches the level 12, which is 120% of the exercise price. And for our particular hypothetical example, that happens at about time 3.65 years. So let K be the exercise price, and that's equal to X naught, the initial stop price. It's an at the money at the time the ESO is granted. And let gamma K, let that be equal to B, that's the barrier level, such that early exercise of the option will happen immediately if the stock price crosses that barrier from below during the early exercise window. Let big M be the maximum of the stock price over the early exercise window. And let S be the first time during the early exercise window that the stock price reaches the barrier level if such event occurs. So we'll consider three different scenarios, which are mutually exclusive and exhaustive. So case one, exit time T1 is bigger than B. This means the ESO will be exercised early at time T1 for a payoff equal to the max of XT1 minus K or 0, because the stock price has reached the level at which the executive will exercise early, and they will do it immediately. Case two, at time T1, XT1 is less than B, so it's not worth exercising immediately that the vesting date happens, but M is bigger than B. So the ESO isn't exercised at the beginning of the early exercise window, but it reached the critical stock price prior to maturity, so it'll be exercised early at time S for a payoff equal to the max of XS minus K and 0, which is equal to the max of B minus K and 0, which is gamma minus 1 times S naught, which is some constant number R. Case 3, XT1 is less than B and M is less than B. This means the conditions for earlier exercise of the ESO were not met, so the ESO won't be exercised until the final maturity at time T2 for a payoff of the max of XT2 minus K and 0, provided, of course, it's in the money at that time. So we can write the payoff structure as a combination of three different payoffs, P1 plus P2 plus P3. The payoffs are mutually exclusive and exhaustive, and the amount and the timing of the payoffs are as shown here on slide 58. P1 is the max of XT1 minus K and 0 times the indicator function of the set XT1 is bigger than B. P2 is the indicator function XT1 is less than B times the indicator function M is more than B times the constant number R, and that's paid at time S. And then P3 is indicator function of XT1 less than B times the indicator function M is less than B times the max of XT2 minus K and 0 paid at time T2. Looking at these payoffs, the first payoff is the payoff from a gap call option which matures at time T1. The second payoff is the payoff from an up and in barrier power option with power beta 1, the same thing as the rebate from an up and out call. If the barrier level is reached, we receive a fixed amount of cash, but it's a partial time type of up and in barrier power option. And the third payoff is the payoff from an up and out barrier call option, but it's a partial time up-and-out barrier call. So now we'll look at how to value each of the components. It's straightforward to value the first component because it's just a plain old ordinary gap call option. The value of this component at time little t before the vesting date is x e to the minus qtor n d1 dashed minus k e to the minus rtor n d2 dashed, where d1 and d2 dashed I like the D1 and D2 in the Black-Scholes formula, except that they use an exercise price of M instead of an exercise price of K, where M is the bigger of K and B. Looking at the second component, and we'll look at its valuation at time T1. At that time, the value of the payoff is the value of an up and in barrier power option, provided that the condition IXT1 is less than B equals 1 holds. The value of the payoff at some earlier time, little t, is the value of a partial time up and in barrier power option, and a closed form formula for the value of this payoff at time little t gives the value as a combination of dual expiry binary power options. So we can write the formula for the value of the contract as shown here on slide 62. So it involves the bivariate normal distribution with various parameters. And it also involves the powers beta 1 and beta 2, which were the roots of that quadratic equation I showed you earlier. We look at the value of the third component, and we'll consider its valuation at time T1. It's a partial time up and out barrier option of barrier B and exercise price K. We can write a formula for its value at time little t before maturity. This will involve 8 terms, each of which involve the bivariate normal distribution. They're all power options with various different powers. You've got power 0 and power 1. Then when you take the images, you'll get power minus alpha plus 1 and minus alpha plus 2. And we can obtain the image of the dual expiry power option using the formula I showed you earlier. So the value of the ESO will be the sum of the three components. It'll be the value of P1 plus the value of P2 plus the value of P3, where the three terms on the right are as shown previously. So in conclusion, we've covered the development of valuation formulae for power options and for dual expiry power options and various types of barrier option, and we used the newly developed method of images in doing this. And using these methods, we were able to derive an analytic formula for pricing an ESO using the Hull-White exercise multiple approach. And that approach involves modelling early exercise behaviour by assuming that early exercise happens as soon as the stock price crosses some critical level from below prior to maturity. This leads to the ESO being a combination of a gap option and two partial time barrier options, and the valuation formulae all involve the bivariate normal. So are there any questions? Yeah.
Thanks. You use the microphone for the recording.
Steve Nagel. Thanks, Tim. That's a lot of maths through there.
Yeah.
You mentioned briefly that Hull suggested that empirical studies show that behaviour is like this.
Yeah.
I'm aware there have been a few done. Have you had a chance to look at some of those studies?
Only briefly. I mean, my focus in this was developing the maths rather than looking at the assumptions. Hull and various other authors suggested that you can estimate that exercise multiple, but it would probably be different for different types of employees. So more senior employees might have a higher level at which they exercise early, a higher barrier level than lower level employees. But yeah, I mean, it's a good question. Any other questions?
Yeah, Fred Rowley. And I concur, there's a lot of maths in there, but it's good to see that the closed form solutions are being extended in this way, and I think that's great. Just building on what Steve said, I was wondering about that question of the exercise, what's it called, the exercise multiple approach.
Mm.
It appears to me that if the executives were compelled to exercise at a certain price, then the options are probably worth less than they are if they're completely free.
Yeah.
So if this methodology is used in a real world approach, mm-hmm. then it seems likely that it may understate the value of the option if it assumes that the executives will operate at any particular level. I suppose the question is whether you're good at predicting what level certain types of employees would exercise that.
I agree with you. You know, you would need to be able to accurately estimate the level at which they would exercise early. The model doesn't assume that they're compelled to, but it assumes that they do.
No, but I was trying to work out whether it would be a positive or negative impact. Seems to me it would tend to be a negative one to actually compel them to exercise at a given price.
Mm.
But that, if you disagree, I'd like to know, because that's just an intuitive feel. Second point I'd say is that all of this, of course, is in the Black-Scholes framework.
Yeah, true.
And one is reminded of that, seeing that the assumption that the volatility is going to be constant between the time of issue and the time of exercise.
Yeah.
And again, I was wondering whether, as a methodology in the real world, whether that assumption might lead to an overstatement or an understatement in terms of changes in volatility during the life of the option.
Well, look, in response, you know, in the real world, it could go either way. It could be either an understatement or an overstatement. But usually these ESO valuations are done for the purpose of preparing a company's financial accounts. You just need to use a benchmark valuation methodology. If you look at all the other numbers in the financial accounts, they're based on historical cost and all sorts of other things. Those numbers are probably quite dodgy too.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Well, no, I agree with that. And again, I'm actually trying to understand, you know, if we're on a board and being asked to use this as a basis for granting these options,
yeah,
what kind of precautions one would be thinking about.
Yeah, and going back to your previous question about the exercise multiple, I mean, I haven't done any numerical studies yet, but Hull suggests that it's the value isn't really especially sensitive to the level of the barrier.
Right. Thank you. Thank you.
Comment, if I may, just hearing Fred's question there. Sorry, Stephen Angle again. The another method of dealing with the early exercise, which is undoubtedly the case, is simply to assume the exercise halfway through the period, which is it's another reduction in value. So I think unquestionably these things are worth in some way less to the holders than if the holder were a bank who was able to hedge them. So
yeah.
I think that's in support of this method or another, which arbitrarily in a way reduces value.
Yeah.
We probably all know that executives will exercise these things when they need cash,
yeah,
or when they remember.
Yeah.
So just bringing that sort of practical view to it, whichever
sure
way you do it.
Yep.
And the second comment to add to that is, in practice, most of these actually, when you're measuring the barrier, have a trailing window of 10, 20, 30 days to measure the average share price against the barrier. So in practice, it gets you end up back in the simulation world to value them most of the time. But I'm still grateful for the formulae because we use those as control variables in the valuation.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, there are ways of extending these results to, you know, multiple barrier windows and also to situations where you've got hurdles defined over more than one asset and observed at more than one time. And you can actually develop more complicated valuation formulae involving the n-dimensional normal CDF. And as you suggested, yeah, it can be useful as a control variate for simulation type approach.
Thank you, everybody. At this point, we've run out of time. Thank you very much for the discussion, and I'm sure Tim would welcome further contact. And the paper will be available through the Institute, but I'm sure Tim will be happy to send you one.
Yep, I'll just have to correct a couple of
like
small typos that I didn't previously discover.
Yep, so that's fine.
Yep.
So thank you very much for attending, and if you could join me in thanking Tim for his presentation and very hard work. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.